Hi, Sim. You're in my dressing room again.
Why do we have such awkward starts? Because we're doing just fine.
Dude, I totally fucking blame you.
But here's what I was thinking the other day.
What?
Our conversations when we're just not recording.
Yeah.
If we recorded those, we'd have the biggest fucking podcast in the world.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
I think you're really patting ourselves on the back.
I just think that the stuff that I get out of you.
What?
When we're behind closed doors and no one's listening.
It's just because you compliment me. And then I'm like, oh, yeah.
And you just start spilling and sharing. Yeah.
Dick.
Well, that'll be for our bonus Patreon. Our Patreon. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's like a membership. I'm just kidding. We're not doing any Patreon, guys. But welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, Sim.
You went on a nice, lovely vacation while I was stuck at home with the bebe.
Yeah, went to Venice over Christmas. It was awesome. And drove up to Switzerland and then drove to France.
Let me ask you a question.
Did you see any yellow jackets, which I was a little disappointed in? But yeah, am I living like a spoiled life? Maybe. I don't know.
No, I was going to go quite the opposite.
I know. It feels
you actually, gross. I would consider you a spoiled person. I would consider that you live a very privileged life. I would consider that you've worked hard for everything you've achieved. But here's what I don't understand. Why are you driving through countries in Europe when you could, you know, get like a chauffeur to drive you through the countries, or get like a romantic train ride, or fly through the country.
Oh, no, the best part, renting like a cheap car.
Why? You can afford a really nice car. Why a cheap car?
There's a solid chance I'm going to fuck it up.
Okay, continue.
I love maps. I don't know if you know this about me. This might be one of the few things that you don't know about me, but I really love maps.
I'm confused by all of this. You have a GPS in your phone.
Yeah, I know.
Get to the destination.
I like maps. I like figuring out that puzzle. I'm not good at any other puzzles, but I don't know.
So you're turning your brain on your vacation as opposed to turning it off?
Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, granted, I know about 4 phrases in Italian.
Okay.
Do you want to hear one of them?
Yes, please.
Okay. Buongiorno, ho studiato a Siena, ma 20 anni fa, so mi dispiace, non parlo bene.
What does that mean?
That means good morning or good day. I studied Italian, well, I don't know if I mentioned that part, in Siena, which is a town south of Florence, 20 years ago, which is not accurate because it was actually probably 30 years ago now, and I don't know how to say that, but please, you know, essentially forgive me. I'm trying, sort of.
I love that that's what you picked out for your, because you're always like, I feel like you're apologizing in English all the time too, so you might
as well.
But
you know, I never really mean it. That's not true.
I like, by the way, I feel like you sounded like a local.
When you say you're sorry, when you apologize, do you mean it? I don't know if you do.
Because here's the thing. If I have to say I'm sorry, there's a lot that just came out of me. Meaning like I rarely say sorry because I rarely fuck up. I feel like I'm pretty okay. And I'll own it when I do
something. Do you want to apologize for your arrogance right now? I'll apologize for mine. Sorry, I'm such an asshole, Sim.
Apology accepted. I still love you. I accept you. I accept you for who you are. It's fine.
Yeah, because they make you fucking money. I, you know what I am sorry about?
Yeah.
I am sorry that as my best friend, I'm sorry I give you such a hard time.
You are so sweet. You know that even though we haven't seen each other in about a month and a half. First of all, I missed you so much. I miss doing this with you. I love doing this with you. I adore you. I adore you when we're not doing this. So for you to say that to me, you know that it's completely...
Thank you, though.
This is getting way too...
No, it's good. Tell me more.
No, I feel like it's been a while and
I just got my hair done.
You got your hair done? Did you say?
Yeah. I just, if you're on a compliment train, I wanted to give you a little more, you know.
I've seen your hair better. you've had better hair. I'm just saying that it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm not going to compliment that.
All right, fine.
I like the use of the belt and the boots. I think that's a good combination. You look like you're from the Wild West right now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. The Wild West from France, I suppose. But
I just missed you. And
I
it's
missed
really
you too.
Great
thanks.
To see
and
you.
Hey, dear listeners, I'm sorry that we're being annoying.
We're catching up in front of well,
in front of your ears.
Yeah, you're right. How do we? Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's just get to Sarah and Eric. So you know Sarah from The House Bunny and Eric from The Hot Chick.
Yeah. Two of my classics.
Two of your what?
Classics.
They are.
Oh, thanks, Sim.
I love them both.
That's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah, and I've known Eric for a long time too. So yeah. Has been a fun.
You had to really. Oh my god! I love it that you
He's
threw
a
that in there.
He's a good he's a good dude.
I'm so gonna rib you about that later.
All right, let's get to the show.
Fuck you. Well, I was hungry, you know, so I was annoyed. the whole
chicken salad and walnuts, not enough.
Not enough.
Turns
food.
Out.
Not enough.
My publicist loves it when I talk about my diet.
You were angry about what you were eating on that movie. You could not wait until the day that we were done so that you could eat something
different.
I love
the publicist in the back of the room. It's just on their phone and then look up yes, when things totally. Go wrong. And then they look around like, we'll have to fix that later. No publicist here is nice. Nobody's here to judge us except for our kids. How are we doing so far?
They'll sign. They just won't
strong
tell
to moderately strong.
Pretty good.
It's like I've heard better.
I do remember feeling annoyed with my core group a little bit sometimes when they wouldn't make everyone feel like a part of the fucking team. But it's like, come on, fucking pick up your empty Dorito bag. And like,
what is that a reference about?
But I do feel like, I don't know.
They were always like leaving shit everywhere.
I felt like they were really
your girls.
Young. Yes. Don't you feel like they were young?
Yes.
That was a thing, though.
And
it's like that part of it.
More experience than a lot of them. Yes.
Right.
Sorry, Sarah. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, not at all. I just like felt like that part of it. It still felt a little bit like high school, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, it just felt like a maturity thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Did you feel like that tapped into your time in when you're in the band playing the flute?
Yes, I did. Yeah. No.
In high school, Sarah was in the band and she played the flute and she has the most amazing pictures
of
her. Well,
I didn't just play the flute. I also played the piccolo and I was in the marching band and the pep band, the jazz band.
So you like to blow
band.
Things?
I do.
But wait, Eric, why do you tap into this element?
He was joking.
I know, but wait.
Fully joking, but if there is a moment of like, because there's moments in which we all regress to like some version of ourselves in high school.
The nerd who's
right.
In band.
But that's what
like,
I'm asking
yeah.
about.
Like,
so that if it was real, she would have, listen, I would have known about it because she would have mentioned it to me. But also, if you have that moment in which there's someone's eating at a different lunch table and it's clicky, it taps into that.
Right.
There were maybe two moments where it felt like that.
Okay, yeah.
I'm being totally
yes,
honest.
Yes, please,
great.
Please.
Okay.
I'm taking off my shoes.
I looked at those moments as they're young and this isn't high school. This is work. And this is a place where I'm playing the villain and they're playing this group together. And I'm okay with that. And so when I looked at that, I saw it as like, this is what it is, but that's fine. And we're playing characters and yes, it's bleeding. There were two experiences that felt that way. Otherwise, everything else I just saw as them being young.
I love this. This is kind of therapy for you too.
Oh, it totally is. That's why I fucking started this shit.
This is based on your guilt.
Uh-huh.
And now she's revealed a moment of truth. And now we got to work through it.
It's a big old comforter of guilt that I've lived
Let's
with
take that thing
for
off.
42
don't
years.
Feel guilty.
Not great at math.
Don't know how to take it off.
Not great math. It wasn't
nope.
42 years. That would make us all in our
nope. Well,
60s.
Also had nothing
for,
to do
no,
with
I'm
you.
Shelly. No. I just meant like.
Oh, you've been carrying that guilt blanket just, for your whole life.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. You know,
you're not there, born
it's
with
like,
that
it's
guilt.
Like a quilt.
That guilt is installed
oh,
by
yeah.
someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got a
how
great
long is this podcast? How much time we got to unpack this?
What can we unpack here?
But Sarah, wait, but the idea of like, it was an interesting shift, like once the Zetas got to be more glamorous, don't you think? I mean, there was a shift in like they felt fundamentally better about themselves.
Confident and
right.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm right about that?
I do. Yeah.
You shot an order?
No, but there were certain days in
yeah,
a row.
I'm confused.
Sometimes when story is so rich, you have to shoot an order to keep the actors in line. To know that.
Hey,
for
Eric,
instance,
fuck you.
Schindler's List, they shot an order. The House Bunny shot an order. It's easier to keep track of the arcs.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a time when we were at the college.
There was a journey there.
There's a journey. You want to make sure, because otherwise you don't know where to jump in
and
out.
That's what I wanted to know.
On
okay,
on the arc of the characters.
Great. See, thank
you,
Gary.
I wish they had a video on her. Why don't we have a video just on you for this podcast? Because your faces are so good.
Oh, my God. Elizabeth Reeser, our last guest, was just saying that, and it made me realize that I only... I was telling Michael that I only have, like, one... I have a mirror... Like, we all have mirror faces.
I don't know what my face ever does either, but I do apparently wear my feelings on my face.
You do?
Apparently.
I don't know. Yes. Well, actually, no, it's in your eyes, Sarah.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like you have like the, whatever the opposite of, and I hate using the term resting bitch face because I don't really believe in it at all, but like you tend towards a smile, but there's different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's conveyed through your eyes. Like, right. Sometimes you're like, I agree with you. You're like the Cheshire Cat.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah, you are.
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
Come on, Eric.
She's a really good active listener, so she just wears her whole feelings on her face.
She's a total Cheshire Cat. Look at her. Like, she's
I think
like,
during your story, she was like, you're uh-huh, going someplace uh-huh, that... It was good. It was good.
I was like, is she going to pull it out of me? Maybe.
It was good. Work through it. 42 years later, we're feeling much better about the house bunny.
That's right.
So wait, how did you guys meet? And I remember, Eric, you telling me at some like stupid Hollywood party that you had met Sarah and that you guys were crazy in love. And what year was that?
I feel like that was probably an Adam Sandler Christmas party because I've been to 3 Hollywood parties in the last 10 years. So that must have been it. Yeah.
So there was like 30 of us there.
Yeah. We met on this TV show called The Loop. And should I tell the story?
Yes, please. Please.
It's not a sweet romantic story.
No, it's not.
Ooh.
So they had just fired Becky Newton.
Newton.
Who's incredibly talented. Becky Newton, the actress.
You guys are like the biggest shit talkers in town. I fucking love it.
No, but wait for it. Becky, who went on to be...
Fired.
We got to hang out more.
Love that word.
It's all going to make sense in about 13 seconds.
Yeah, yeah,
so Becky
yeah,
Newton, who went on to be one of the stars of Ugly Betty, who's an incredibly talented actress, was on a show with me called The Loop, and Fox didn't know what to do, so they got rid of her. And they hired Sarah, and they hired this other girl, Amanda. And I sat there with Becky while she was crying her eyes out from being fired from a pilot for no good reason.
Can we reenact this?
You want to be Becky?
Just, I don't know. Just I just go felt for like it. It was sort of fun. No, wait.
Have you ever been fired from a job? I've been fired from 3.
I've been fired too. It doesn't feel good.
I've never been fired. So I can't even do method.
That does
you
not,
have no idea.
You have no empathy for that journey.
Yeah.
Becky, I'm sorry. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
It's heartbreaking. It's a heartbreaking feeling because a lot of times it's you've already shot something and they go, we're going to replace you, which
yes,
means aww, that whatever you've done is so we're not agreeing with that. We have to find somebody else to do it again. So she's heartbroken. I'm connecting with that horrible experience. And they bring in this Heidi Klum girl. And I was like, yo, we're on Fox. We're on a comedy. She has to be funny. This is not the OC where they can hire... Yeah, super. This is fully. This is me at my
like,
worst.
Fine, she can have my babies. Because
that's
consolation.
That's
cry,
how that tracked. So they brought in this supermodel, and I was so sad. One for Becky, but two because they brought in her. And during the photo shoots,
did
and
you
stuff,
cry as well? Was that like the moment where you're like, God, damn it, she's beautiful, but there's no way she can be funny.
That's my moment of tears.
Well, you said you were sad.
I was sad for Becky.
Oh, okay.
I was sad that Becky lost
but
the job.
Truly,
and
you
Fox
were like,
in a supermodel.
Oh, fuck yeah.
No.
And come on.
I actively was not.
He
she
wasn't.
Can vouch for this.
No. The reason why that he is telling this part of the story is because if I tell the part of the story, it sounds mean because he
no,
was...
No, it was mean. I was cold. I was actively cold to the fact that they hired a supermodel.
Becky's a very attractive, by the way. Let's just make
super
that
attractive.
It's a yeah, really yes, talented, beautiful
right,
actress.
So it wasn't about looks. It was never about... It wasn't a casting re-choice about looks.
No.
What he means is he thought that he had never seen me do anything before. I had acted on another show. He had never seen it. And so...
I'm sorry to
that's
cut
okay,
you off. That's such a fucking... dominating, annoying thing to do. But I will say that your husband has been kind of a dick sometimes. Judgmental.
This is
and
a perfect
snobby.
Example. Yeah, this is a perfect example of that. Yeah.
I remember that about you on the hot chick.
Being judgmental and snobby?
Yeah.
He's judgmental, but he's confident. When he's a very confident guy.
Yeah, he's very confident.
He has God. When we played beer pong together back in the day.
Oh, here we go.
I met him first, by the way.
Yes, thank you. I mean, I think there's a fine line between judgmental and confidence.
All right, full disclosure, Sim, you're going to hate me for this, but I don't fucking care. Earlier, while Sim was bragging about knowing you before I knew you, which felt like an odd competition when we had other shit to do, he said, you know, Eric's—he's got a healthy ego.
Yeah,
I didn't.
100%.
I will back
I was like,
that.
What the fuck? Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black right there?
A little bit, sure. But
anyway,
I like that.
So
about
let's
him.
Go back to the beer pong story. Yes. No, so how long did you know our celebrity friend Sim?
But let's get back to the story with Becky Newton. So we left off.
I made a sweeping generalization that they had hired this girl because she was stunning and not because she was comedically talented. And at the first table read, she knocked it out of the park and no one laughed more than me. And then I came up and said to her, quote,
I am so sorry. I judged you based on the way that you look. I should never have been mean to you. And I'm a big giant jerk.
So there's one thing about being cocky, and then there's another thing about being able to make the pivot.
Well,
that's
why I feel like
apology.
I can call you on your shit, but that is 100%. Amazing.
It's amazing. And he goes, and you're amazing.
And I'm sorry,
and
I'm so glad you're on the show.
And I was so wrong, and I'm so happy that you're here. And I was like, thank you. Because before the table read, I called my mom, and I was like, there's a guy on the show that hates me, and I don't know why. And then
super
after the tape
cold.
Read, I was like, he really liked it.
Because she was so talented and so funny. And that's when I started falling in love
well,
with her.
But don't you think that there's that juxtaposition with people sometimes where it's like, I am mad that I am attracted to you and I don't want to be.
I don't think that was it. I literally was like, I wanted this project to be the best version of it. And this
for
is
sure. Yeah.
And this is when they had hired.
I think they had done it like a couple times in a few shows where they ruined a show. And, you know, they ruin a pilot. They hire somebody that somebody's like, oh, my gosh, you have to hire so-and-so. And then that person, like, has never done multi-camera comedy before or, like, you know, single-camera comedy.
You know, and with the House Bunny, I wasn't able to win too many battles. But one was they wanted somebody, like, supermodel-y for my love interest. And I was like, but I don't think that's going to – we have such a tiny – amount of time for I didn't even want to and it was like I didn't even want a love story, but I don't know, I guess
America did.
But so I when Colin Hanks, who's handsome but relatable, I just didn't want it to be like, oh, her journey is attracted to like some like
Josh Duhamel. Like, do they want Josh Duhamel?
Want Sim?
But so I hear what you're saying about like just having like beauty and Sarah is as you of course, right. So then you guys fell in love.
So that's
then,
the pivot. I was wrong.
Yeah,
fully apologize
and
for
that,
it.
That's
in
amazing
the moment,
that you did it.
And then we started this beautiful friendship.
So you guys did the show together. You were honest with her. That must have been attractive.
Very.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened? Were you like want to go out?
No, I had an amazing girlfriend at the time who Sim, you both know.
And
I was married. So we were friends for a long time, like a year, I think, before we ever, I was divorced by the time that we got together. He and his girlfriend had split. And that summer we,
where'd you guys go?
Should we go on a date? And we did.
13 years ago. She called me out this morning in the shower. I go, 10 years. And she goes, you have no idea how long we've been together. I was like, 11 years? And she was like, 13.
Yeah, over 13 now. No, it's over 13 because it's been like a few hours since our shower.
The seven-year itch I didn't know about. It blew right through the seven-year itch. Didn't know anything about it. Talk to me.
Hi, guys.
What happened?
Is this the scary part?
Is this the scary part?
Okay. Ooh, let's get her a little blanket. Hey, Michael, would you get her a little blanket?
No, she's going to have to, we're going to have to talk her through the scary parts here. It's like life.
Do we know what movie she's watching?
She's watching Coco, which so has some.
But
really,
she's seen it before.
Yeah, but there's some scary parts in Coco.
I want.
We just got to talk about it thematically. What's happening?
Okay, you talk them through it.
Just anything, man. You just talk them through it. You talk about what's going on in their heads, why they're scared of it, and you give complexity to the bad guy and what their journey is, and then they make it into a human being.
What I want to know is this: why would
and
I?
Sim, Anna's can you guys here's my please question. Like here's my question, fucking Pierre. Go start your own? Like, why would new you parent fucking podcast? Like I don't know.
This is an important question,
father.
If you know that there's scary parts and they've seen it before and they know it's coming, why would you re-air that same movie?
Because that's their way of working through it.
So you want them to see it so they can cry through it so they understand?
Well, I think the more understanding they have of it,
okay,
then that's them dealing with their fears.
Gotcha. So you don't want to avoid it. You want to have them see that the scary part of Coco.
That's a larger question about life.
Okay.
But yeah, we, you know, like anything, we talk about that the definition of courage is being scared, realizing something's the right thing to do, and being able to keep doing it.
That's so good.
I guess that's so just like us with the podcast, isn't it, Sim?
Realizing that you're scared of the podcast,
but yet
knowing
it's
persevere. The right thing to do because you have sponsors and you've sold it, so you have to keep talking.
We
to
have
each
to keep.
Other.
Yes, exactly. I know. We're stuck with each other
the
now.
The complexity
Anna.
Of this relationship is so wonderful. I could take a full. You know, we should instead of callers today, we should just talk about your guys' feelings.
Oh my god, that would not be fun at all.
I don't know.
There's so much to unpack.
So you guys, it's a like long
I
friendship.
I want to actually.
It's a
long friendship.
20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known you longer than I've known Eric here.
Oh my God. Was that your yeah. first celebrity friend, Sam?
No, Kevin Richardson.
God, why
was.
Am I being so... I am.
Yeah, there's a lot of aggression. Just coming out of nowhere. It's a lot to do.
No, it's not coming.
She's so good. She's so good. Her turns are so good. That's why she's a superstar, you guys.
Yep.
Her comedic turns are genius.
Well, no, it's because I don't... Thank you. But it's truly because I don't know what my face is doing. So wait, hey, Sarah. When I think about you guys, I think about...
How often you think about us.
But I remember you guys talking about your retreat. You don't have to talk about like where it is or anything, but I remember you guys were fixing up a place.
In the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how I... See, now you're... clamming up, huh? Why don't you give us your address, Eric?
This is my
it's like one look.
I fully was just looking at her, listening, and she just turned. She's no. like a bearded dragon.
There's
just
a there's
sitting
a
there.
Look that you don't want, and he hasn't given it.
Oh,
can you do that look?
Ooh.
I think that's my listening and not agreeing phase. I haven't disagreed with anything
no,
she said,
no.
even when she
it's not a fun one.
I loved the idea that you guys, as you fell in love, had this refuge, and it made you both so happy. And you guys were like, showing me pictures of you guys like nailing, I don't know, shit on the roof or whatever.
I can tell you how my parents fell in love with her, which is that my last girlfriend was amazing and my parents loved her. And I think the transition for them to Sarah was difficult. And when we bought this barn and started redoing it, it was... just the top was a hayloft and there was two tack rooms. There's a half a bathroom. We're literally showering outside. There's one toilet. You're sleeping on the ground. We're eating on horse stall, flipped over water containers. And Sarah was out there for that first summer. Was it 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it as rough in it as you can get. And
we were like building out the kitchen, turning the tack rooms into bedrooms. And I mean, but I'm from Kentucky. Like that was not, that was for me, that was something that was really fun.
Right. But that's it. That you found such joy in all that, that
right.
you were just so down to just to be there. And
can I give your wife a compliment?
Yeah.
May I? May
I, sir? I was so thrown off by why you asked. She looked at Sim, which
because,
is even weirder.
No, but Sarah, you, I felt like, when we were making the house bunny, I felt the stress of a lot of nurturing, and you were always a leader. Like you were just fucking cool. And I've always felt like I could look at you and you were like, we got this. This is good. It's good. It's good. And that's so indicative of a really strong person that I could lean. I knew that I could look at you and lean on you, and you didn't need reassurance from me necessarily. You just had me. I hope that I could sort of, because I was trying hard to, like, whatever, I'm needy and building a community and we'll have fucking lofty ideas about the world coming together in love. But I remember that being just, it's a testament to your strength, and it's really amazing. And thank you for that.
Absolutely. I mean, I really felt like you were such an amazing leader on that movie, and that.
Such a ding dong.
Well, I remember that. Remember the day that we were filming the erythromycin scene?
Yes.
In the, like, huge auditorium, and you had to do this huge speech, and you had to say erythromycin the correct way, like, 1,000 times. And you talk about, like,
erythromycin
breaking out in an allergy, and it was so good. But I remember you were like, "It's so much dialogue, and it's a lot."
I think it was like one of our last days of shooting.
I know it was.
We shot in order because it was the
it was the end of the movie, so it was towards the end of.
That made sense. Otherwise, it gets tough to keep track of the arc.
Well, you know, they knew who they were dealing with. Just like a bunch of ladies, and we were all like, "We need to go in order." I'm joking.
Not touching that one. Seems totally sexist and awful. I don't appreciate that compliment. Not okay.
That comment.
Have you seen American Made? Have you seen her, Tom Cruise, in American Made?
Yes. I know you weren't asking me, but yes. And well, phenomenal.
Thank you.
No.
You talk about strength. Like, that character, she plays the wife to Tom Cruise, and she crushes it.
Yep.
She's so good, and she drives those scenes, and you can just, it's the closest I think she's played to herself, which is just this really grounded center. It's crazy.
Fuck, like,
it's,
Sarah, I feel so embarrassed.
Don't be silly.
I think we should go.
Thank you for that compliment.
We watched 214 episodes of Mom before we came here, and she couldn't watch one movie.
He's joking, and I don't care. But
honest eyes right now.
I bought the box set.
I'd like my 19 cents then.
Oh, those checks, those 19 cent checks.
I still get them for the hot chick. I want to thank Adam Sandler. What else you got for prep here?
Hey, fuck you.
He's trying to take over.
He's a leader.
He's
a leader. Ass out of that rocking chair. Take your beautiful kids.
This is a wonderful
Leave your stunning wife and get the fuck out of here.
That's okay. We explain the world to them.
I think that they're plugged in.
No, that he can hear that. But he'll ask, he's like, why did the girl from Frozen swear the whole time? I'll explain to him.
Her name's Anna. She dyed her hair.
Well, she doesn't know English very well.
No, she knows English very well. Those are power words.
She's from Norway.
Her and Tony Robbins really embrace the power words.
She's Norwegian, just like you. She's Norwegian.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. And then you look away.
I was just looking, and I was literally thinking, she has a beautiful kitchen.
Oh, thank you. I look around and I see a bit of chaos, but that's my own hamster wheels spinning all the time.
I get it.
Your wife was like, yep.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Like the vacuum cleaner thing installed on the side. Just plug that in. You can vacuum clean. Got some antlers over there.
Eric,
yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 4, how insecure would it make you if Sarah and I, like, went on a week-long vacation together to Tulum?
Sarah can answer that question. How insecure?
No. This is the question for you.
Yeah, but she can tell you the truth. On the scale, wait, which is which? On the 4 scale? Nothing would make me happier. I think she has amazing girlfriends. It's one of the things that I love the most about her is that she has a whole life that she has outside of me.
Weekly.
Her girlfriends, like, I love them.
By the way, I forgot to tell you that two businesses book club next week.
I know, and they're reading. What was last week?
Calypso, David Sedaris.
Yeah, she's in a book club with. I mean, she's killing it. Her girlfriends are amazing, and that's really important. So I would be happy.
God, you are such an asshole.
Because I
believe him. By the way, I would.
I believe him too. That's why. That's what makes him an asshole, and that's why I can say to his face that he is an asshole.
I will embrace that version of being an asshole if it means supporting your wife and her.
I weirdly feel like I'm competing for Sarah. Like, did you see I'm getting closer?
You are closer, but you know what? That makes me happy. Like, that's all for
why
that.
You're even more of a fucking asshole.
Sim, it's tough. I'm gonna tell you right now, Sim, it's tough because there's no way to.
You can't win.
It's not about winning. It's just about existing at this point.
Absolutely.
How do you
You're
navigate?
Just trying to survive at this point.
There is nothing about you that reeks of tough. Like not that reeks of life is tough.
No, life
you
is not tough.
You cannot say to Sim, "It's tough." No.
First off, we're not talking about
because
life.
You are so tough. Clearly, as we've established.
That's another turn that's just it's cut, print. We got it. I would like for you guys to go
nothing,
to Tulum together.
I keep trying. I will make the phone calls. I keep trying to needle. Normally, I can do a gentle needle. Here and there or whatever. A little rib. And you're like, nope. I'm just serving it right on back to you, Ferris.
Well, it's whatever you want to talk about, and I'm 100% comfortable talking about all of it. Sarah. You can ask Sarah.
I'm so glad you're getting a taste of what I go through.
But I think it's wonderful. I think, by the way,
you're right, though.
But these are the moments in which, if we want to get philosophical, those are the conversations we need to have to have any kind of progress in relationships or love or life or friendships.
You're completely right. This will go down as one of my most satisfying podcasts. Also, I mean that in a genuine way. And I love you guys. And,
We love you. I have to say that because I do.
Eric?
I haven't seen you in 10 years. Everything I remember about you was wonderful, but I haven't seen you in 10 years.
You're right.
That's the truth.
Not now. You. I mean, you're right when you call me an asshole.
I remember the woman that I met on the Hot Chick, and I remember thinking, you were such an interesting, intelligent, complex, kind of wonderful human being.
Thanks.
And then I haven't seen you in forever, and I hope that... I've listened to the podcast, and I think it's a really interesting format to explore life and relationships and feelings, and...
Thank you, Eric. I remember feeling the same thing about you. I remember sitting on a sidewalk or something, and we had a really interesting conversation about, I don't know, probably fucking craft service or something.
It's super interesting then.
I was really grateful for your presence because you always felt very solid in that sort of world of insecurity. It was nice to have a sense of stability. So thank you, Eric.
That was a really nice moment. Thank you for that.
I know, and then I backed away from it.
Because it's real, and that's tough for all of us to get to.
What just happened, by the way?
I know.
Something just happened.
Well, no, because she said, I love you, and Sarah said, I love you back, and I said, I haven't seen you in 10 years, and then felt the need to explain, what that response was.
And Sim
was.
Went to sleep, the koala that he is.
I'm just saying that we went from, you were attacking Eric to now you both are just best friends, and you love each other, it was a joking attacking, to then you explained, and you defended. I'm just happy that all of us are back together
again. Here's the truth.
I'm just happy that all of us are together again.
We're back into it.
We're all happy.
Here's the crazy thing about this business, is that we are eternally in summer camp.
That's true.
So, and I'm sure you've had this conversation on the podcast where you go off and do a movie for 3 months and it is the best version of summer camp that you've ever had. And you make these relationships that almost feel, in retrospect, inauthentic because so much time has passed between when you did them. I've done movies with people where for those 3 months, it was such a dynamic an explosive friendship or relationship. And then you lose people because you work 100 hours a week and you've got a kid and you've got a 2-month-old. And so we lose track of kind of what you talked about earlier is that we tend to paint our histories into just good or bad. And so it's tough to navigate relationships or how you felt about somebody that you haven't seen in 6 years.
Right. But you're right, though, that honest communication... Well, you're right about everything, which I say very begrudgingly at this point.
Why?
Oh, don't you fucking do this shit to me. This is my fucking podcast. Sorry, I know. I keep forgetting.
It's okay. She's the princess from Frozen. She's just got a whole new...
I'm learning English. but no. But I think that it's also a gender idea, and this is my default, but the idea that terrified of the next job when you're getting older. Like, I had that when I was young. I remember Rob, like, coming out. I read with him for The Hot Chick, and my parents were waiting in the car, and I went down and got in the car, and he came out, and he was like, I just want to tell you that I got the job, that you got the job. Well, of course, he already had the job. But and I remember feeling happy, but also the pressure to feel more exhilarated. I was excited, but I felt and I think it's a little bit of a socialization of like sort of female enthusiasm, the idea of female enthusiasm. Oh, yeah. See, it's right there.
I get it. My turn.
Sarah.
Hi.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
But how do you deal with that idea of, like, larger idea of being a woman in this industry? And, like, the idea that Eric made the assumption that you weren't going to be funny.
Well, at that point, I think I was 21 or 22 years old, right? Something like that.
If that, yeah.
And at that point, I was pretty new to the business. I'd only done one show. And then I had went and auditioned for this and got it and was so excited to be doing it. So I came from a world, the modeling world before that. And I hated it so, so, so much in the way that you were treated that anything other than that felt like way better than being in the modeling world. So the situation with him, I just remembered trying even harder. I became like a golden retriever that would just like, oh, you don't like me? I'm gonna figure out why, and I'm just gonna keep trying. And so, like, trying way too hard. Where he was giving someone his number that was new in town, and he was like, you know, my girlfriend and I, like, we should all hang out. And I was like, oh, should we hang out too? Should we all hang out together so we can get to know each other? And he was like, yeah, I guess. And I was like, oh gosh, what do I do? And so I feel like I've always been that person who's like overly nice or overly trying to figure out, like, it's not possible that you're like a really mean person and that you hate me. There has to be something else, right? In that situation, it just came down to like one simple thing, is that he was really upset about his friend who got fired. And for me in that situation, it wasn't really about me. And so the moment he apologized, I was like, oh, it had nothing to do with me. It was more about him and his thing with this girl. Has there been situations in my career where people have looked at me and judged me and it's felt awful and icky? And yeah, that's happened my whole life. And it does feel icky and weird. But I don't know. Like, I think the way that I always handled it was just be really nice.
That's like the puzzle solving skill set that we've been socialized towards.
Right.
That's was not mine. What you do anymore.
No, but that was when I was young, when I was right. Like then. Now I you know, I don't know. There was something that shifted along the way.
Are you going to kick me?
Nope.
You're not going to stab me.
Mm-mm.
I only know you from House Bunny, and I remember you being so strong. I remember, like, you being kind of the strongest one. And I don't mean to qualify that, but kind of, like, you were.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I feel like that's sort of right after when I had a big shift, though. I grew up in the South, and my dad was a pastor, and I grew up in church my whole life. But, like, I guess, like, Jesus camp version of church, it was pretty intense. And so for a long time, it was sort of this thing where the world was like a world of absolutes. And then one day I woke up and was like asking a million questions, and why are things, you know, the way that they are? And I sort of did a 180 in my life. And I think I just, it was almost like the polar opposite. I just started standing up for myself
in a very extreme way, right? Like my brother was like, hey, I'm coming in on the train from, he was like, he's a Marine and he was stationed somewhere. And he's like, I'm coming on the train tonight. You can drive up and pick me up at like 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, how dare you ask me to come pick you up at 10 o'clock at night?
She was picking fights with
everyone. It was just picking fights with everyone. And so I had the shift and then I came somewhere back to like a middle ground where I was still the core of who I was, but then also able to stand up for myself so that when we met and we had started dating and then had a few fights, I like immediately would call him out and be like, you're not allowed to fight this way. And we need to figure out how to communicate in a different way. And it was great. And I was like 23. So it was about that time, I think, where I was somewhere. I had found my middle. Long-winded.
No. It's
important. And it's... Children are disgusting. I don't know what they're doing over there.
They're really cute. They're
watching Coco.
They're doing coke?
Yep. Yes.
Can we do one super quick improv before we get calls? I'm sorry. I don't. Okay. So you guys are attending the premiere of Aquaman.
Amazing.
First, this is going to be a lot of acting because I would never... You can't drag me to my own movie.
I was like, I could barely get him to come to any work event.
You guys are attending the premiere of Aquaman.
Yay!
Okay, ready? Who are we ourselves? Who are we?
Yes.
Oh, we're ourselves.
Okay. Hi. Hey, oh my gosh. Hi, Eric. Hi, Sarah. Hi. Oh my gosh. Hi, I'm Bae Schumacher Smith. I work with WT, as you know. Oh my gosh. So tell us what you are doing tonight here. Why do you like water? Why do you like Aquaman? And you guys both are so glorious. You both just look so amazing. I think you're the best looking couple in Hollywood.
I totally missed your name. Can you say it again?
Bae Schumacher Smith. I'm with WT, as
what
you
is,
know.
I forgot what WT was. Help me.
WT. But I just had a couple of quick questions.
Is it a
podcast?
You guys
just look amazing. Are you so excited to be here today?
I mean, I'm pretty excited.
Yes. Well, you look amazing,
Sarah.
Thank you.
You
really do. I'm not going to ask you what you're wearing because
I haven't even looked at the tag. You know, so.
So now answer me this. One quick question. What does it take to keep like a Hollywood couple together?
For the WT audience? Is
yes.
That what we're...
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants to know. You are just such a wonderful couple.
Are you taping this on your tape recorder?
What are your secrets?
Is that your own tape recorder?
What
is that provided by the WT?
Ronnie.
Oh, you have Ronnie. No. Oh, Ronnie's got a camera back there.
I have a camera. Oh,
Ronnie. Hi, Ronnie.
This is Ronnie.
See Ronnie.
Ronnie. He's over there.
Hi, Ronnie. It's not a great angle.
WT was allotted an odd amount of space.
It's a raking shot. It's a two. It's a twofer.
Yeah. So tell us, what are the secrets?
Coming to these events really bring us
closer.
Of sure, because like, you get a night out, right?
Right. Yeah, which we don't.
And you love
it very often. And going to see Aquaman is definitely the thing that.
Well, not just go. I mean, we're at the premiere.
It's the premiere.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, we're getting dressed up. He got hair and makeup. Uh-huh. I didn't get hair and makeup.
Going to a premiere is the secret to a Hollywood marriage.
That and having a mutual interest in the same kind of puppies, I think. Probably. Like, we love dogs.
All
so we have a mutual dog interest.
Of course.
That's what binds us mostly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course.
Our affinity for Jason Momoa action pieces.
And what do you love most, Eric,
great
about
pull.
Jason?
He's a good-looking dude.
I think he's attractive.
I see him in Topanga Canyon, and I feel like if something goes wrong, he's going to take his shirt off and he's going to save us all.
Well, he has a really nice car.
Oh, sure. Of course. Well, who doesn't these days? But okay, so now, when
pink
you guys
Cadillac.
Are in being
he
intimate.
He has a really cool Cadillac. That's actually totally true. Like a vintage cool Cadillac.
I rolled up and I was like, that guy, is
there a photo shoot happening right now? Because he is like really good looking in a convertible, wasn't it? A convertible.
And he wears the leather hats with the holes in the top.
God, that guy kills it.
Let me ask you both. If you were to give Jason like some kind of swimming lesson or something, what do you think stroke would be his strong suit?
Good. I think.
Don't take the low hanging fruit. Don't.
No,
take
no.
It.
I was gonna.
What's your name? Kate
Beige.
Beige.
Schumach. It's Schumacher Smith.
Schumacher Smith.
You're not gonna take a stroke.
You can take which stroke would you take, Jason?
I would feel like because of the shape of his body that he would be more of a butterfly type stroke.
Now, I love that idea. Now, Eric, would you make love to a mermaid if Sarah had developed a fish tail?
Oh, if she became a mermaid, I think we'd talk through it. We'd make it work.
Okay,
you would be totally into that?
I'm saying if you became a mermaid,
she'd talk through.
Anatomically, how do you think that would work?
I mean, I haven't looked at the anatomy of a mermaid. But I think we want to have a third kid, right? Is that in dispute? So we'd want to have a third kid.
With the success of tonight with Aquaman, that third child
is going to happen.
Oh, well, it'd be easy casting, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you would have a fish child.
It's an exciting movie. It really gets your juices flowing.
Wow, that was the low-hanging fruit that we were all looking for right there.
Fish child.
Fish child and the juices flowing. And some breaststroke. Why don't we just do all three right there?
Yeah. Now, would you hope for a...
I love that this is the highlight of the podcast. This is
an upper body fish with human legs?
I think I'd like to keep as much of her as possible.
Would you like a land-walking fish child? Or would you like
for the kid or for Sarah?
An ocean... Oh, I'm just talking about your future fish child.
Our future fish child.
Would you want a land walking or a water based?
There's a movie called The Song of the Sea that's based on a child that's half seal.
Oh, Eric, tell us about it.
It's a documentary. Coming of age story about
And you're developing it for
TW.
For TW.
WT.
WT.
Well, it's the Dyslexic version.
So tell us all about it.
Yeah, no.
Are you looking to go into...
We're doing some casting right now.
...dramatic work?
Like, no, are you, not my forte.
Now, if you were to play a character that were to, like, really land you that Oscar, would you want to do...
That's just not going to happen for me.
What would you want to do? Refugee, or let's say... what's been your dream?
Yeah, I don't know.
Would you like to play somebody with an accent?
A period piece?
A period piece?
Can you see me in a period piece or doing an accent or as a refugee?
Well, I can now. Thank you.
Anything?
Yes, no, Sarah, sorry, go on. Yes,
no.
Give your husband, no, tell your husband what to do. It's important because nobody else is talking to me on the red carpet tonight. So please, tell your husband.
I was just going to say that I feel like anything that has an accent, he would do really well.
Oh, yes. Oh, let's... Ooh.
I do terrible accents. She's making fun of me.
Oh, you guys.
I do a Southern accent, and she tells me it's horrible. Mm. And I do a German accent, and she tells me it's horrible.
Oh.
My Russian's pretty good. Sure. Bear, I do a good Russian accent.
He's watching Sophia.
He's watching what?
Sophia.
Oh, what happened to Coco?
Okay, I'm sorry. Can we get back to Aquaman?
Yeah, sorry.
But anyway.
First things first. Have you seen the movie?
Aquaman?
Oh.
Did you see it in the pre-screenings?
I tried, but they didn't. But I hear it is amazing. I hear it's amazing. Great. There's swimming. There's underwater danger. And it's just...
They probably had to shoot it in order.
I think
sequentially, just based on...
Oh, I'm sure they did. I mean, how could you not? Like, as an emotional actor, you would have to go through that journey, right?
This is my... You're so good. It's just so good. And it's so vapid because even as you're asking the question, you're not listening. And on to the next question.
Hi, okay, well, thank you guys so much for stopping by.
It was really nice to meet you, Paige.
So thank you guys so much. You're beautiful. Have a wonderful time tonight.
Your show's such a hit.
Enjoy your fish, child.
But what's great about that is that's half the interviews on the red carpet. Like, that is it. You've captured it really well.
Thanks, Eric.
It's really wonderful.
Yeah, you're really good at playing along.
My improv.
You just kept pulling out of it.
That's because, by the way, if I was on the red carpet I wouldn't stop to have a conversation.
Wait, with Beige?
Come on.
You wouldn't talk to Beige?
WT? Come on.
Her name is Beige.
Don't snub Beige.
Don't snub Beige. She's got feelings. She's got feelings, too.
You guys are at the premiere of Aquaman.
She did write me, and one of our friends invited us to a wonderful charity that's happening at the Roller Arena.
It sounded like such a fun night.
For Emma Stone. And there's going to be
so
Haim.
Fun. Haim
is performing
band.
In the center
Haim?
Of World on Wheels.
It's Haim.
Haim.
Right? So I'm
yeah, that's what I said that too. I said Haim.
You did?
No.
I feel like Haim. You've called them Haim. I feel like you have them on Pandora.
I thought you said Hyman.
Haim.
Nope.
Haim?
I don't know.
But she was like, can we go to this? And I was Haim. Like, no, I do not want to go to
he
this,
goes,
but I'll go on
no.
a date with you.
No, no, you did not say that. You said... Can no, I want to tuck our kids in and be there for bedtime.
That's exactly what
and I said,
comb your hair.
Can we have a date?
Give you a long massage.
And I just want to braid your hair.
None of that was said. Just want to tuck the kids in. After you go to work, you want to come home and
I just thought that Sarah was ribbing you because it's anyway, whatever. That sounded very, very nice, but also and like your cloak for not being social
was to go hang out with the kids.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a cloak.
No, that's like...
That's true.
No, but them.
That's how I feel. I mean, I don't leave the house when I'm really grateful that you guys are here until later on, like a few hours from now when I bitch about you.
That's fine.
It's only because I miss you.
We're right down the street.
I know.
Do we know where we
Ding
are?
Dong.
Do people know where we are?
No.
No, good.
Are you suspicious that our dear listeners would come over to your place and kill you?
That's why we have two.
You don't need to be worried about them.
It's just you. She shows up at the door at 11:30 with like half a cupcake.
Hey guys.
Hey, just wanted to follow up.
Remember when you told me that we lived close?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay,
Anna,
so
can
we
get the callers now? Before
yes.
They have to
yes,
leave
yes,
soon.
Yes,
I know we're
yes,
already.
Yeah.
This is where it gets real.
Join us Thursday for the calls and a lot more. Thanks, everyone. She's a